إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. My dear brothers and sisters, I don't know how many of you have watched. I'm very interested in athletics, meaning watching athletics. But one of the things I like to watch is not so much the 100 meter sprints, but the longer races, the 800 meters. And then, of course, the marathons, half marathon and the full marathon. Now, one of the things you see in those races is that the people who are ahead in the beginning are not necessarily ahead in the end. In many cases, actually, it is almost the opposite. I mean, not always the opposite, but almost the opposite. The people who are ahead in the beginning, then they tire out and they fall behind, and then there is some guy who was not ahead, somewhere in the middle, maybe sometimes even at the back, who finally wins the race. So two lessons from this is I want to remind myself of. One is that the winners are decided only at the end of the race. Any race, the winner is decided only at the end of the race. Not in the beginning, not anywhere in the middle, only at the end of the race. And the second one is that looking at a race being run, seeing what is happening to the runners in the course of the race, you cannot decide who is going to be a winner. You can't look at one of them and say, no, this is surely a winner. Maybe you are right, maybe you are wrong, we don't know that. We will know that only at the end of the race. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because, not because we're talking about races, but we're talking about life. And like we said yesterday, life is a journey, and I'm saying life is a race. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a race. I mean, I didn't make up this thing. Allah said, Sariyu ila maghfiratin. Allah said, run and race towards the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah didn't say, walk to it. Allah didn't say, come slowly. No, Allah said, race. Now, race has two things. One is speed, and second is competing. Yeah, you can't be running a race by yourself. Even if you are running a race by yourself, you are competing against your own time, which is what a lot of athletes do. They are trying to better their time. So I am doing 100 meters in 10 seconds. I want to improve that to, you know, whatever it is. So the point is that speed and competition with other people, that's the quality of a race. So in this race of life towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tend to get confused because we forget these two very important things. One is, as I mentioned earlier, that the winner is decided only at the end of the race. And two is, you can't look at somebody in the race and decide whether this person is successful or not successful. You don't know that. But we get confused. And so we say about individuals, we say, oh, look at this person, how advanced that person is and how successful that person is. Or we look at entire countries, we look at entire groups of people and say, so and so, these people are so successful and these people are so influential. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in the Quran in many places. For example, about Qarun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when Qarun would come out of his house, in the sense of, you know, he would come out in a procession because the man liked to show off. So he used to come out in a procession with his wealth and pomp and splendor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there were people who would look at that and they say, oh, I wish Allah had given me like this. I wish Allah had made me like Qarun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, but there were people who had some knowledge with them, and they used to tell them, what kind of dua is this? You know, don't make this kind of a dua. It's a very bad dua. You do not know what kind of man this man is. And then the same people, when they saw what happened to Qarun, which is that he was, the earth swallowed him, then they said, oh, you know, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not make us like Qarun. So what we learn from the Quran and the stories of the Anbiya, that is that, like I said yesterday, in this whole race, the winner is decided only at the end. And who is that winner? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ زُغْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَاسْ. Allah said there is only one kind of winner. And who is that winner? The winner is the one who has been freed from the hellfire and entered into Jannah. Fakat faz, only that person has succeeded, nobody else. So Allah is not talking about the interim period. Allah is talking about that period. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. Allah said, you will see the mujrimun, you will see those people who used to commit jurum, who were oppressors, who were people who refused to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who did committed all kinds of sins, who were, who did everything they should not be doing, mujrimun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on the day of judgment, when they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, when they see the situation of the day of judgment, they will be standing there with their heads hanging in shame, and they will say, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na farjina na'mal salihan inna muqirun. Oh, our Rabb, we have seen and we have heard, send us back into the world and we will become obedient people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, that's over. This is now, you can't, if you do not win a race, right? Somebody already won the race. Now you are somewhere in the back. You can't come to the... There is, first of all, no ribbon. But the first one who crosses the race, the ribbon is gone with him. But you can't come to the end line and say, no, you know what, I'm going to run the race again. No, there's no race again. This race is over. Khalas. You can't run the race again. There's no way of running the race again because there is only one race. So if you look at people in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us one very important thing, which is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that people who had destroyed their akhirah, their dunya also got destroyed. For example, take Ramesses IV, the Pharaoh of Musa alayhi salam, the Pharaoh of Musa. What did he have in this world? It's easier to answer that question in another way, which is to say, what did he not have in this world? I mean, what did he have in this world is a very long list. So if we say, what did he not have in this world, then that list is very small if we can even make a list. Because anything that you can or I can aspire for, anything that we can imagine, anything that we can desire, the man already had it. He had power, he had wealth, he had whatever you want, right? But what happened to all of that? I'm not talking about the Akhirah. Akhirah, what happens to the Pharaoh of Musa? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, and he said that until the day of judgment, and this is one of the ayat which is the dalil for the azab of the qabr. Now, those people who deny the adab of Qabr, they must read the Quran. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Firaun and his people are shown the fire morning and night. Morning and night they are exposed to the fire, and on the day of judgment, very clear the ayat is, because the morning and night, there's no morning and night before on the day of judgment. Morning and night is for this world. And secondly, if that is the case, then why is Allah saying and on the day of judgment? Meaning that this exposing to the fire morning and night is before the day of judgment, which is where? In the Alam al-Barzakh, in the Qabr. May Allah save us from the Azab of the Qabr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make specific dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min azab al-Qabr. Oh Allah, save me from the Azab of the Qabr. So, Firaun, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he will then be returned to the worst of punishments. So now his akhirat is destroyed. But what happened to his dunya? He lost his kingdom. He lost all his wealth. And he himself and his whole army got submerged in the ocean. He got drowned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved his body as a sign for people. What happened to Qarun? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, Allah said, and this is again in the Quran, I'm talking to you only from what is in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about Qarun, Allah said, we had given him such treasures that the keys of the treasure house, Allah is not talking about the treasure. Allah is saying only the keys of the treasure house. It used to take a whole gang of powerful people to lift the keys. Yeah? Not one or two people. It took a gang of people just to lift the keys. So what kind of treasure is it? So after all that, what happened to Qarun? What happened to his treasure? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him and his treasures to be swallowed by the earth. Take yesterday, you heard in the tafsir about Namrud. Nimrod, the king of Babylon, the Phoenicians, they traveled, they were one of the greatest civilizations known to in history, one of the greatest pre-Roman, pre-Greek. Then these people, the Phoenicians, they sailed the oceans, they went all over the place, they were all over Africa, all over the place. Very powerful people. Babylon was the city of the times. the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Tower of Babel, as it is called, that's what he created to. He said, I will go on top and kill the God of Ibrahim, alayhi salam. What happened to him? Yeah? What happened? So all this, he destroyed his akhirah, dunya also got destroyed. So the issue is that in this dunya, we might see somebody, oh, so-and-so has got so much money, so-and-so has got so many cars and this and that. Makes no difference. What makes a difference? What makes a difference is, he has all of this in what condition? If he or she has all of this while being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah al-musta'an, this is khair and barakah for them. And Allah has told us, and showed us that example also in the Quran. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Dawud alayhi salam. Think about this, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning Sulaiman alayhi salam, and why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give Sulaiman alayhi salam the kind of kingdom that he did not give to anybody? Nobody had it. Pharaoh did not have the kind of kingdom Sulaiman alayhi salam had. Nobody, including today, the great kings and queens of the world, they do not have the kind of power and authority and khudrat that Sulaiman alayhi salam. And why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us that? Allah could have given that kind of a kingdom also to a person who is not a Muslim. Allah did not do that. Allah gave the greatest kingdom in a dunyavi sense to one of his anbiya. Just think about this. Why? Even this dunya, which in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we said the famous hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is walking in Medina, and they see a carcass of a deformed sheep which is lying on a garbage heap. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, he said, anybody would like to buy this if I offer you this sheep for one dirham or one dinar? Would you like to buy this sheep? They say, Ya Rasulullah, who wants to buy this sheep? We don't want this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what about if I offer it to you for free? Take it free. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't even want it free, because even if this sheep were alive, it's a deformed sheep, so it has no value, and now it is dead. Who wants a dead, deformed sheep? We don't even want it, even if it is free. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the value that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for this entire dunya is less than the value you have for the sheep. So if this dunya Allah gives to somebody, big deal, so what? What is the value of garbage? If somebody orders 10 trucks of garbage to be brought and dumped into your yard, will you say, mashallah, look at this man, wow, 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 he's got 10 trucks of garbage in his house. Yeah, I wish I had 11 trucks of garbage. Will you say that? It's garbage, it's junk. I mean, you don't want that. You will pay someone to take it away. But even that dunya, Allah gave the maximum, the most to one of his anbiya to show what? To show that, how does he deal with that dunya? Sulaiman alayhi salam, what did he say? When the throne of Bilqis was brought, he said, Hadha min fadli Rabbi. He didn't say, this is the power of this, this is the fadl of my Rabb. And then he didn't say, oh, very good, thank you. No. He said, liyabluwani. It has been done to test me. He didn't say, wow, fantastic, I have arrived. No. He said, this is the fadl of my Rabb. My Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu caused. Imagine, I mean, that's why I'm saying, when you read the Quran, reflect on the Quran. Don't just read it. How many times have you heard the story of this throne of the Queen of Sheba, Bilqis? But look at a map. You're talking about what? You're talking about what is now the Rub al-Khali, which is part of Yemen, part of Saudi Arabia. And Sulaiman alayhi salam was in Jerusalem. Go look at the map. What is the distance between that Yemen and Jerusalem? We are talking about a material thing. We are not talking about an idea that came from some place. We are talking about a throne. And they say this throne was, seven, not stories, but I mean seven steps. And it was made of gold and whatnot. And, all of that. So it was a huge, massive thing. And it was extremely heavy and so on. It was very valuable. So it was not kept even outside. It used to be kept in a treasure house. And it would be brought out when the queen was in her darbar. And this throne was brought from Yemen to Jerusalem in the blinking of an eye. So if I want to use scientific language, what will I say? I will say that throne was teleported, it was dematerialized, and teleported and rematerialized in Jerusalem. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even I don't understand. So if you don't understand, I don't blame you. I'm using words. Try and teleport my phone from here to your pocket. Let me see. Forget about Yemen and Jerusalem and whatnot. This phone is right here in front of you. Do that. Dematerialize it and rematerialize it in your pocket. So what are we saying? We are talking about some, I don't know whether one should call it technology, Allah knows best, but something amazing, right? We don't know how it happens. Till today, we don't know how it happens. So when that happens, what is the reaction of the Nabi? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us these things so that we understand. You don't look at what is called a miracle and we don't say, oh, mashallah, mashallah, oh, kya sahib karamat hai, mashallah, you know, now we go and touch his feet and kiss his feet, and when he dies, we go and make some sujood on his qabr. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Sahib karamat Allah hai. Not anybody else. Hada min fadli rabbi. This is the fadl of my Rabb. Sulaiman alayhi salam did not say, oh, this is this man's karamat. No. He said, this is the fadl of my Rabb. Jalla jalal. And then, liyabluwani. He did this to test me. So your BMW is to test you. Your racehorse, which you are running in the derby, is to test you. That's like putting a noose around your neck and saying, this is to test me. Why do you have a racehorse in the derby in the first place? You know it is haram. Your house, your mansion is to test you. Now, if you build that house without ostentation, comfortable house, but not something which is lavish and which you want to show the dunya. Yeah, people have a kitchen like elephants have the tusk. I mean, people say one is to show, is not to show. Allah does not create anything like that. The tusk of the elephant is a highly useful tool. But just for the sake of the Mahavira, daant dikhane ke alag, khane ke alag, which, you know, there's teeth to show and teeth. People have two kitchens. There's a kitchen which is actually used in the house, and then there is this fancy kitchen from Italy and wherever, that is to show the guests who come. To show them the kitchen. Ah, mashallah, oh, fantastic. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Who are you trying to impress? Who are you trying to impress? I always tell people, when my grandfather was going home, he said, I'm going home. Where was he going? To the Red Fort. So go build a house bigger than the Red Fort before you start talking about it. He didn't say, I'm going to the Red Fort. What? The Red Fort? My house. I'm going home. Right? Seriously, we have to... Why do you read history? To understand what this life is about. And if it didn't get them anything, how is it going to get you? Tell me. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran. Again and again and again. This life is a race. وَمَنْ زُهْزِيَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ. This dunya is only to show, figment of the imagination. So I advise myself and I remind myself and you, let us understand and remember this. Don't get conned by this dunya. Don't start, you know, your jaw hanging open and eyes wide and say, oh, mashallah, look at this person. There is no mashallah. Mashallah is only if that person has got that wealth in a halal way, and he is using it in a halal way and spending it in a halal way, then it is mashallah, alhamdulillah. But if the wealth came in a haram way, or if it is halal wealth, maybe you inherited it from somewhere, from your parents or whoever, and then you are using it in a haram way, then this is not something to be. It may look nice to you, that's no problem. You are this person, is God. But that is, you are creating, you are lighting your own fire in the Jahannam. And that you and I will know when we reach that day when the curtain will be lifted and when Malakul Maut comes, when we see the angels. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day the best day of our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that day the most beautiful day, because that is the day when we will meet our Rabb Jalla Jalalu. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make tawbah before we die. And that means we make tawbah right now as we sit here. Let us make tawbah and turn ourselves completely. Making tawbah means that we look at what we are doing wrong and we say, from this moment onwards, from the time I get up from my chair or my seat and walk out of the masjid, I will not do that thing again. So make tawbah inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept that tawbah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter us into Jannatul Firdaus Ala bi ghayri hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.